Broadcasting across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. For more information, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. To start today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy, and thank all of you for what you do to make the ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Hank Unplugged podcast, and our 24/7 outreaches around the world a reality in the lives of so many people. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. On the eve of Thanksgiving, I wondered whether you have ever wondered what your children are learning in the public schools of America. I read an article today in The Federalist. It was by Mary Grabar. It's titled, What Kids in Portland Public Schools Learn About Thanksgiving. And in this article, Mary Grabar provides us with the poignant example of indoctrination. Today, there are eighth graders in the United States of America who have been assigned to read Marxist Howard Zinn's A Young People's History of the United States. And as they read, they discover that the Indian tribes are a homogeneous mass of childlike people oppressed by greedy capitalist explorers and settlers. In her book, Debunking Howard Zinn, Grabar exposes the fake history lessons that are systematically turning a brand new generation of children against American exceptionalism. The narrative that is being used to indoctrinate school children is that in contrast to Indians who believed in hospitality and sharing, Columbus was a money-grubbing killer, that he and his men routinely enslaved and tortured and murdered innocent Indians, and that pagan Indian earth religions are far superior to anything European Christianity has to offer. Far from being a heroic explorer, Columbus is recast a genocidal maniac. What is expunged from the historical record is the commitment on the part of Columbus to take nothing without giving, and his pledge to make Native Americans free through love rather than by force. From the brainwashing perspective of this new breed of woke educators, Native Americans imbued their children with courage. They respected women as equal to Native warriors. They considered other tribes not only equal, but endowed with great dignity. One thing these educators do not do, however, is provide the young children under their command with examples of pilgrim kindness towards Native Americans. One of the recommended resources consumed by, unsuspecting children is a video produced by Teen Vogue, a video featuring six young girls soberly seated behind a table that is laden with a traditional Thanksgiving feast. They discuss the real history of Thanksgiving. And this real history, they say, is a celebration of deaths of entire villages and war crimes unspeakable. They describe what they are thankful for, their culture, the culture of being born indigenous peoples. And as the video comes to a dramatic crescendo, the six angrily overturn the table, the Thanksgiving table, and declare, "Happy Thanksgiving, America." So says Grabar when Grandma asks her 13-year-old grandchild what she has been learning in school during Native Heritage Month. She's likely to hear a lecture about Columbus's genocide, the Pilgrims' war crimes, and everything that is antithetical to believing in a real Thanksgiving as we celebrate not only the abundance provided by our Heavenly Father, but the abundance that He has provided through this nation to the far reaches of the world. And I should add that the indoctrination of students does not stop in grammar school. Consider Andrew White, who's the founder of Cornell University, and his protégés who gleefully teach students that Christian fundamentalists perpetuated flat earth mythology hundreds of years after Ferdinand Magellan empirically proved the earth round. And tragically, historically illiterate students are drinking the Kool-Aid by the buckets full. This despite the obvious reality that unanimous scholarly opinion from Augustine to Aquinas had long determined the earth to be spherical. The bottom line is this: truth is so obscure and falsehood so prevalent that unless we love truth, we will not discover it any more than Columbus would have discovered America without the benefit of a Christian worldview. The truth regarding Thanksgiving that educators would do well to communicate to their students is that this holiday, this Thanksgiving holiday, has roots. Those roots go all the way back to a proclamation by Abraham Lincoln, a proclamation that I'll cite on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Indeed, it is this proclamation of Thanksgiving that stretches all the way back to a day in 1863, when Abraham Lincoln set apart the last Thursday of November as a national day of thanksgiving, thanksgiving and praise to our Father who is in heaven. Thanksgiving for you and I ought to be seen as the gateway to righteousness. We might well pray, "Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord." This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. Scripture exhorts us to enter His gates with thanksgiving, not only during the Thanksgiving holiday, but every single day as we enter the gates of prayer, as we enter where our Heavenly Father is with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving because it is God who has blessed us. So many of us suffer from what may well be described as selective memories. We're prone to forget the blessings of yesterday as we thanklessly barrage the throne of grace with new requests each day, I hope this year, Thanksgiving Day will become a reminder to give God thanks, not only every day, but every moment of every day. This Thanksgiving, thank God for the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Thank God for being able to spend yet another Thanksgiving Day with family members and friends. And thank God for ministries like the Christian Research Institute that are transforming the lives of people around the globe. And my thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. We'll be right back with more on the eve of Thanksgiving.
Rob Mall wrote The Art of Dying to recover the deeply Christian practice of dying well. For centuries, Christians have prepared for the good death with spiritual disciplines that direct the actions of both the living and the dying. The Art of Dying is a gentle companion for all who face death, whether one's own or that of a loved one. As Christians, we know that death is not the end. Thus, preparing to die helps us to truly live. To receive your copy of The Art of Dying, Living Fully into the Life to Come, call 888-7000-CRI and support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org.
Unless the Lord returns in our lifetime, we will die. But most of us live as if death does not exist. Simply put, we don't know how to die well. Rob Mall wrote The Art of Dying to recover the deeply Christian practice of dying well. For centuries, Christians have prepared for the good death with spiritual disciplines that direct the actions of both the living and the dying. The Art of Dying is a gentle companion for all who face death, whether one's own or that of a loved one. As Christians, we know that death is not the end. Thus, preparing to die helps us to truly live. To receive your copy of The Art of Dying, Living Fully into the Life to Come, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And we are just hours now away from Thanksgiving. And I'm thankful for many things, including the questions that come in live on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but also the questions that come in from Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. I want to take some of those questions. A question from Danny regarding Matthew 19, 23 through 24. Maybe I should read that. Well, anyway, let me read the question that Danny is asking. Danny says, regarding this passage, Matthew 19, depending on what part of the globe you are, most people are rich nowadays. So who is this rich person that Jesus Christ is talking about? Is it a millionaire, a billionaire, a multi-millionaire, an upper middle class, or has all of this to do with the change of heart? I think that's a profound question and a profound way to word a profound question. And Danny, you know, Jesus is talking to his disciples in this passage, and he's saying, most assuredly, I'm going to tell you this, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And then Jesus repeats it and adds, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And of course, when his disciples heard what Jesus said, they were, as usual, astonished. And they asked this question, who then can be saved? I'm sure they asked it quietly to themselves, but they asked it nonetheless. But Jesus, of course, knows all things, and he looks at his disciples and he says to them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So what is Jesus doing here? He's using an illustration, and Jesus was the master of parable and illustration. He's using, as it were, the largest animal that they were acquainted with. And he's talking about that large animal going through the smallest of openings. This is, of course, not possible on a human plane. But Jesus is pointing out that with God, all things are possible. So who then can be saved? By God's grace, the illustration is pointing out that what is impossible to us as human beings is made possible by the grace of God. And that's what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But God has prepared us for works. Why? Because, as James puts it, just as a body without a spirit is dead, so faith without works are dead. So we should never put works and faith in opposition to one another. They're synergistic, just like a spirit is to a human body. It's not ultimately in the illustration of Jesus Christ about how much money you have. Danny, it's not whether you are a millionaire, a billionaire, a multimillionaire, or just middle class. All of us are at least one percenters, perhaps two percenters. If you think about all of the people who've ever lived on this planet, we are in the upper 1 or 2%. Of all of those people who have ever lived, so by generational, by historical standards, we are wealthy. So Jesus is not talking about the amount of money you have. He's talking about attachment to money. Are you attached to the things below, or are you attached to the things above? And if you are attached to the things above, by grace, you will be saved through faith. I want to take another question, which is a Facebook question. This by Kim, who asks, Can you still obtain the cross with the prayer that Hank says he uses in his daily prayers? Well, Kim, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I do pray this prayer in my daily prayers. It is the prayer of St. Ephrem, and the cross on which we have it printed is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I love that prayer. O Lord and Master, give me not a spirit of sloth, idle curiosity, love of power, or useless chatter. Rather, accord to me, your servant, a spirit of chastity, humility, patience, and love. Yes, O Lord and Master of my life, grant that I may see my own faults and not condemn my brother or sister, for you are blessed forever and ever. Amen. That prayer is a prayer I pray every single day. I'm reminded because I have a cross on my mirror. So when I get up in the morning and I look in the mirror, I try not to screech. I instead pray. Also, Kim is asking for advice on Bible study. She says she's trying to read through the Bible, but she's finding that it is a struggle, trying to read commentaries and footnotes, and seeming to make no progress. Any suggestions would be greatly appreciated. This is my first time reading through the Bible, at least trying to do so. So anything in terms of suggestion would be appreciated. Well, I do have some suggestions. In fact, I wrote about this under a section on reading in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. I talk about the art of reading, an art which has been lost in the lives of so many people. You don't simply learn by osmosis. You learn by reading. All the greats learn by reading. C.S. Lewis used to talk about how people who read a book only once are unlettered people. You need to get these classics and read them over and over again so they become part of the warp and woof of who you are. And this Thanksgiving season in particular, maybe this holiday season, not just Thanksgiving, but we think about Christmas and New Year's, think about a resolution that you make part of what you're going to do in the coming year, and that resolution being reading through the Bible. Obviously, it's a daunting proposition. And because of that, I developed what I call a legacy reading plan. And what this plan is designed to do is empower you to eat the elephant one book at a time. I designed the format of this reading plan to make your time in Holy Scripture the best it can be. And you'd be hard-pressed to come up with a better legacy for your life than that of reading through the Bible once a year, every year, and to do it for the rest of your life. And to put it in perspective, for me, that's likely less than 20 more years. The door is getting more and more narrow. But the legacy reading plan that I've developed, it's unique. It requires you to process books of the Bible rather than piecing together bits of books you find on the web at equip.org. But my overall goal is for you to comprehend the essence God is communicating by reading each biblical book as a whole. The reading calendar is naturally segmented into seasons and the seasons into months. So here's kind of how it goes. At the beginning of every year, you know that during the winter, your focus is going to be on the Pentateuch and poetry. That happens to be 249 chapters. In spring, you focus on the historical books. Ironically, or maybe by design, 249 chapters. In summer, the prophets, 250 chapters, and during the fall, the New Testament, 260 chapters. Each season is further broken down in the plan into months. Thus, every January, your goal is to read through Genesis and Exodus, and every December, the Synoptic Gospels and Acts. There are times when you will naturally read 10 chapters at a time, and others when you will read one or two. But more importantly, you will read the Bible just as you read other literature. So I hope that this season you'll make a resolution to read through the Bible this year. If you've never done it before, it is transformational. It's one of those disciplines that transforms you from one glory to another. It is one of the disciplines that allows you to experience what it means to be deified. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, a special edition coming up on Thanksgiving Day. And thank you once again for standing shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. God bless you on Thanksgiving Day and beyond.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.